The essence of libertarianism is the primacy of the individual over the state and absolute freedom of the individual to make his or her own choices. That's actually also the teachings of Jesus Christ. I have come to set you free.
Pope Francis, widely seen as the most charismatic head of the Catholic Church since Pope John Paul II, is coming to the United States for his first papal visit. We thought to get a sense of what this visit means, we'd ask one of his critics and also a Roman Catholic, our good old friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, thanks so much.
Old as in duration of friendship.
Exactly. That's what we always mean here. Let's set the stage a little bit. This Pope, who's a very intriguing character, seems kind of American to me on one sense. He doesn't embrace the trappings of office as much as previous popes did. He has this sort of humble connection with people. At the same time, he kind of puts America at the head of the neoliberal economic order, which he's highly critical of him. What is the importance of this trip for him, do you say?
Pope Francis is a challenge and an obstacle to traditionalist Roman Catholics, as I am. I emphasize traditionalist. I wouldn't have said that if this were pre-Vatican II, but post-Vatican II, one must distinguish between being Catholic and being traditional. So by traditional, I mean I attend a Latin mass where the priest faces the altar and where sermons are traditional theological and philosophical statements rather than comments on politics or sports or the types of things one often hears in a regular Roman Catholic mass today. I don't know why the Pope is coming to the United States other than to spread an aura of goodwill about Roman Catholicism. He is so likable and well-liked, in part by our colleagues in the media, in part by the liberal intelligentsia, in part by the silence of traditionalists who show deference and respect to him.
Do you see him as sort of sharply modernizing or bucking tradition? Is he making a pretty sharp turn in things like speeding up annulments or things like that?
Well, speeding up annulments in the view of this traditionalist Roman Catholic is a rejection of his papal role. One of the jobs of the Pope is to preserve tradition and to protect the sacraments. By speeding up annulments at the same time as permitting ordinary confession to absolve the sin of abortion, which Roman Catholicism has taught for 400 years is murder. He has assaulted matrimony. For him to make annulments easier is a backdoor towards permitting divorce. And that is a direct frontal assault on the sacrament of matrimony.
So you don't like him on tradition. You must love him on economics and global warming.
Well, the Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth. He is infallible on faith and morals. Thank God it is limited to faith and morals. The Pope's views on economics are what judges call dicta. That is where a judge in a written opinion says something utterly unrelated to the argument in the opinion, and it is merely his or her opinion. The Pope is entitled to his opinion on any matter of economics that has nothing to do with human salvation. Now, I'm in the Ayn Rand school of economics. I believe in no interference in the free market by the government. I believe the only moral commercial transactions are those that are truly and wholly and fully voluntary, not interfered with, not provoked, not even encouraged by the government. The Pope is, by his own words, a Peronist. He is probably also a communist, lowercase c, and a Marxist, uppercase m, who does believe that the government ought to control and motivate the means of production and the means of distribution.
Do you think that these opinions, given his role, can do tangible harm?
Well, of course they can do tangible harm because they encourage governments in areas where there's the open interplay of ideas. To move away from the free market and towards more government control. For heaven's sakes, the Pope says we can do this, let's go ahead and do it. That's the type of argument which I expect to be made in light of his assaults on capitalism. It will be a little odd, Matt, if he comes here next week and directly on the floor of the House of Representatives assaults capitalism. What remains of capitalism in the world exists here. It would be bizarre for him to attack it at its core.
Might also talk about global warming. Why shouldn't? I know you're saying that the Pope, you know, has very specific and kind of limited duties here, enumeration of duties here. But if the Pope believes the world's going to burn up because of carbon in 50 years, shouldn't the Pope say something about that?
Yes, the Pope is entitled to say whatever he wants. But in a papal exhortation or in an encyclical, which for 2,000 years have been used for the purposes of teaching the faithful faith and morals, that's not the place for it. If the Pope wants to say at some gathering in the Vatican, by the way, I think global warming is out of control and we ought to turn down our air conditioners, he can say that.
Or not have air conditioners.
Right. He can say that, and quite frankly, who cares? But when he uses the trappings of office, and when he uses the means traditionally used by his predecessors to teach in matters of faith and morals, it's the wrong place and sends the wrong message. It gives an aura of the imprimatur, lowercase I, of the church with respect to economic and political activities, and I don't want that, and that's not why he's the Pope.
I want to talk to you about the interplay between your own sense of Catholicism and libertarianism. You know, you were talking earlier about some of the traditions that you embrace. They're not traditionally the kind of traditions that a libertarian socially would embrace in the United States. How does your own sense of Catholicism inform and interplay with your sense of libertarianism?
The essence of libertarianism is the primacy of the individual over the state. And as far as is conceivable, absolute freedom of the individual to make his or her own choices. That's actually also the teachings of Jesus Christ. I have come to set you free. Now, I know the devil can quote scriptures to suit his purposes, but the doctrine on religious freedom, the doctrine on free will, is such that free will is the greatest gift God gave us. It is so perfect a gift that we are free to abuse it. And history and the modern era is filled with examples of its abuse. So I see no inconsistency between the observation that the individual is greater than the state and the church's teaching on free will at all. But I'm also not unaware of the church's social policy. And the social policy of the church is that I am my brother's keeper and that I should help my brother out. I accept that and I embrace it. As long as I am free to accept it and embrace it, as long as I am not forced to do it through the mechanism of government.
Judge, as always, thank you so much for your very well-informed commentary. For Reason TV, I am Matt Welch.